This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And just a quick recap of what we covered during the 6 o'clock hour. So we started off by talking about social etiquette, especially as it pertains to the new normal that we're facing in light of COVID-19 and how we're supposed to be practicing physical distancing. We should be good about our masks and our cough and sneezing etiquette. And, you know, these are the thoughts that run through your mind when you can feel somebody's breath on the back of your neck when they're clearly not standing in their appropriate box in a supermarket. And yes, of course, I am talking from personal experience, and I think many of you guys would have felt the same way. So we've been asking for your best and worst experiences and encounters in terms of social etiquette. How are you trying to get people to back off? And for that matter, have you seen it practiced perfectly? You know, a positive story would be nice too. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And also get in touch if you have thoughts on hotels and local travel. Are you planning to travel locally anytime soon? We spoke earlier about how the hotel industry is in dire straits at the moment and how they're planning to recover from that, especially once the quarantining Malaysians, you know, kind of move on from the quarantine program at the moment. And I think local travel is going to be one immediate way of doing that. So let me know if you have plans to travel. In the meantime, some thoughts that have come through. So this is how Dennis copes with physical distancing, saying, I bring an umbrella with me, and when they get too close, I start swinging it casually back and forth. And that is a nice tactic. So far we've heard people out and out telling people off. We've also heard of just giving the death stare, and now an umbrella, which is great because that also does the job of getting you that distance that you need. Now we also have Jeff, who says, a colleague just doesn't feel like wearing a mask at all times. I sent him a video on the importance of wearing mask, yet he continues to ignore it. Some people just don't cherish their lives, yet endanger others. I work in Cyberjaya. And that comes back to what our caller Mohan said earlier, which is whether or not we have any sense of collective social responsibility, which is so important, I think, in terms of really running this home, in terms of hammering it home of why we need to do these things at this point in time, even if it inconveniences us. So, yeah, whether we manage to get that going remains to be seen. But do get in touch. Let us know. How are you doing in terms of social etiquette when it comes to physical distancing? Have you had any awkward run-ins? And also, are you planning to travel anytime soon? Locally, once we're allowed to, in an effort to see more of our beautiful country and help out the tourism industry. Loke says, no need to be nice. Embarrass them in public. The umbrella tactic is good. And I'm getting a lot of strength from all these responses because I'm recognizing that my cowardly ways of saying nothing, probably not the way to go. So yeah, in future, I'm just kind of making notes. Umbrellas, no need to be nice. And maybe it's time to just tell people when they need to back away. So keep those thoughts coming. In the meantime, it is just about 7:10, so we're going to be moving on to our next story, which is about Singapore's circuit breaker and how the country might look like coming out of it. So of course, they are one of our nearest neighbours, and it's interesting to see what they're doing because the quarantine period that they're currently under will lift from June 1st, and they've lined out three phases. Phase one will last at least a few weeks, and we'll see economic activities that don't pose a high risk of transmission restarting. It's not a comprehensive list, but it does include most manufacturing and production facilities, most businesses with employees working in offices where there are no large crowds like finance and insurance, and hairdressers and barbers. However, dining in F&B outlets is still banned during phase one. And we can see, I think, some similarities here with the CMCO, but also some stark differences. And all that will change in phase two anyway. They'll move to the stage if community transmission rates remain low and stable, and the situation in foreign worker dormitories remains under control during the first phase. And here we'll see dine-in becoming a possibility again. social activities in small groups will start and fitness centres will be reopened. And eventually, if the situation looks even more controlled, then regulations will be eased until Singapore reaches their new normal, and that will kick off phase three. The third phase will remain until an effective vaccine or treatment for COVID-19 is developed. In this phase, limited-sized social, cultural, religious and business gatherings or events can resume. Seniors can do their day-to-day activities again, and services that require close contact, like spas and nightclubs, will be allowed to reopen. So I think, like I said, some similarities to what we're already doing and some main differences, particularly when it comes to F&B. But also the main thing that I'm seeing here is a huge sense of at least seeming certainty. I don't know if they'll walk stuff back. I don't know if they'll adjust as things go on. But right now, just looking at it, there's a little bit more of a heads-up approach, like, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what's going to be rolling out. This is what the metrics of success are. And, you know, this is how you can expect us to move on. And I think that that is a great, an important thing to have, particularly for business owners and just society at large, but for business owners to be able to plan and to be able to say, okay, so this is when I'll need to start reopening. Here in Malaysia, I think we've seen those announcements happening on a much shorter term, a much shorter turnaround. And because of that, we've also seen confusion, subsequent clarifications having to come out. And it would behoove us, I think, just to look at our neighbours. I know we don't like doing it, but just to look at our neighbours and see what they're doing, if it's going to work, and how we might be able to take some lessons from that. So in light of that, we're going to be speaking very shortly with Chua Hak Bin, who's a senior economist at Maybank Kim Eng, and we'll be just trying to understand how this is going to impact Singapore's economy and business community. That's coming your way very, very shortly. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
7:15 in the evening, and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're finishing off our show today by looking at Singapore's circuit breaker, because it is officially lifting, or, you know, heading into phase one on June 1st. And that is 8 days before we are supposed to see, you know, what happens with our CMCO. So we thought it was a good time to check in and see how that might end up affecting Singapore and what, if any, lessons we might be able to take from that. So to do this, we're crossing over now to Chua Hak Bin, who's a senior economist at Maybank Kim Eng. Hak Bin, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with a simple question. How has the pandemic affected Singapore in terms of the economy?
Well, Singapore has been pretty hard hit. I think being very small and open, it's a lot more sensitive to such shock. So, and we're looking for a contraction of as much as 7% for the year. And I think in the second quarter, the contraction could be as severe as 20%. So that's a pretty deep recession. That's, you know, far worse than the kind of downturns we've seen during the global financial crisis or even the Asian financial crisis.
And which industries have been most greatly affected in this time?
Well, I guess it's generally the same industries across. It's the tourism, it's the retail, the food and beverage, the aviation sector. Essentially, all those sectors which have to be shut down. I think those sectors are struggling. I think what's kind of worrying is that, you know, these sectors are also typically the ones who employ a lot more labor, a lot more workers. And the workers tend to be, earning around the median or slightly below the median wage. So, you know, the COVID shock is actually a rather regressive shock, disproportionately hurting the low-wage workers.
So if we look at the exit plan from the circuit breaker that has been laid out, how are industries or business owners feeling about it?
Well, the government announced the exit plan yesterday. The strategy is actually a lot more careful and calibrated compared to some of the other countries, compared to even Malaysia, Thailand. So it's divided into three phases. And even in the first phase, schools will be partly open, but a lot of the retail malls will still remain shut. In-dining will still not be allowed. So, you know, it's still going to be pretty tough, because this is still some of the worst hit sectors. yeah, so, you know, I think the recovery is going to be a lot more slower for Singapore, given that the reopening or the unlocking of the economy is a lot more cautious.
And with that, the Monetary Authority of Singapore has said that the country may expect more job losses in the months ahead. How is the government preparing for that possible outcome?
Yeah, so I think we already saw job losses of something like 20,000 in the first quarter. And there could be far larger numbers in the second quarter. And the government has been coming out with some major fiscal support schemes. I think the one that really supports job is the very generous wage subsidies. Essentially, the government is paying up to 75% of the wages of local workers, that includes citizens and permanent residents, up to 4,600. Yeah. So they're paying 75% during the circuit breaker months, the 2 months so far. And then from here on, some of that wage subsidy will drop for the sectors that are going to be open up. But I suspect that for the retail, hospitality, these sectors will still get very strong support. So I think that's an incentive for companies to try to retain the local workers. Unfortunately, the subsidies don't apply for foreign workers. And I think that's where the bulk of the retrenchments seems to be occurring. So the unemployment rate will rise, but I don't think as dramatically as the numbers that you see in Europe or the U.S., we're looking for unemployment rate to rise slightly above 5%. It'll still be far worse than past recessions. We're still looking for job losses in total, about 150,000 to 200,000 for the full year. That's pretty steep. But again, you know, I think more than half of it will be borne by foreign workers.
And from where we're sitting, I mean, so far the Singaporean government seems to have taken rather decisive actions in tackling the pandemic, announcing a one-month lockdown back in the start of April and now laying out a specific exit plan. Have industries been able to benefit from this, you know, decisiveness?
I think the government has to take the necessary action to try to contain the number of COVID cases. I think the results of that has been encouraging. Number of new cases, the community local cases has dropped to 1, 2, 3 a day. So I think it's largely contained. And hopefully by June or July, we're closer to hoping to hit zero on a few days. The government has tried to give advance warnings on a change in policies. So announcing 2 weeks in advance roughly about which sectors might open up and, advising the firms on what kind of rules to adopt in terms of social distancing and to make sure that firms are ready to resume operations when they do. So I think that kind of guidance, that kind of fiscal support has been helpful for companies.
And I think this is something that you touched on, but as we've been talking about, Singapore has been particularly hard hit by COVID-19 in this region. We've seen that particularly recently. What does the economic situation look like, in Singapore for the rest of the year?
So I think we're looking for a U-shaped recovery. It's hard to argue for V-shape. One, because the unwinding of the lockdown measures will be very gradual. And so, we will get parts of the economy that will at least hopefully will resume operations in third quarter, but not all will be in operation. And I think there are parts of the business, like pubs and where there'll be, concerts and all that might not be open for the rest of the year. There's also a part of the business where it involves international travel. And I think border controls will probably be the last, to be relaxed. And when it does, it's probably for essential travel first before leisure travel. So it's going to be it's kind of choppy, gradual recovery with some risk of a relapse. And then we might have some measures to contain the outbreak, at certain areas or so on. So, until I think a vaccine is really widely available, I think we just have to deal with this kind of a weak, gradual recovery for the rest of the year.
How do you see Singapore's reopening and recovery affecting the region as a whole?
Well, I think everybody's you know, capacity to contain COVID matters for everyone else. You know, Singapore and Malaysia can probably only really open up their borders, for example, if the COVID cases is well contained, you know, and there's minimal transmission rate. And then it's the same with Indonesia or Philippines, which are struggling to flatten their pandemic curve. So it may take a while, you know, to resume travel between those countries to Malaysia or Singapore. So you know, Vietnam and Thailand are doing pretty well. They seem to be ahead. They have started, you know, resuming their domestic flights. So, and of course, Northeast Asian countries are well ahead in terms of their capacity to their numbers in terms of containing the COVID cases. I think one area when everybody does well is that countries will start admitting and allowing for travel to countries which have successfully reduced the numbers, and you know, the countries that are probably part of the green travel corridor could be Taiwan or Korea or Hong Kong, maybe Australia, New Zealand, you know, parts of China. And then I think there's an advantage of being able to join this block, right? Because then you can resume travel and again help revive the aviation sector.
Hak Bin, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Chua Hak Bin, Senior Economist at Maybank Kim Eng, talking about the impact of Singapore's circuit breaker, or rather of the exit plan that we've seen the government lay out. So if you have any thoughts on that, do feel free to share. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 7:30 news today, we are going to be headed to Popcorn Culture, where we'll be reviewing one of the very last movies that actually made their way into the theatres, and that is Pixar's Onward. So that will be coming your way after that. In the meantime, we've got music that's going to take you there. Here's Couple with Selamat Hari Raya, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.